This week's excuse my voice today. We start on page 1090. For Parshas Nitzavim, double Parsha this week, Nitzavim and Vayelech. So let's start reading from the second line from the top. Perek Lamed Pasuk Aleph. Chapter 30, verse 1. V'haya ki yavayo alecha kol advarim ha'ela, and it shall be, but all these things shall come upon you, habracha v'aklala, the blessing and the curse, asher nasati lefanecha, that I have put before you, v'asher yivoysa el levavecha, you shall take to your heart, v'chol ha'goyim asher edichacha Hashem elokecha shema, amongst all the nations that God will cast you there. So, last week's parasha discussed what we call the Tochacha, where Hashem tells the Jewish people that if they abandon the Torah as a nation, all the terrible calamities can befall them. And one of the calamities that will befall them is exile to other nations of the world. They'll be scattered around the world. So here the Pasuk starts saying, now after all that's happened, and you have been cast away to different parts of the world, you will take to heart, Pasuk Beis, verse 2, V'shaftar Hashem Elokecha V'shamata B'koiloi, you shall return unto Hashem your God and you shall listen to His voice. Kochav Asher Aneichem Mitzavcha Hayoyim, according to all that I have commanded you today, Ata Uvanecha, you and your children, V'cholavavcha V'chol Nafshecha, with all your heart, with all your soul. V'shav Hashem Elokecha Shavuscha V'richamecha, God shall bring back your captives and He shall have mercy upon you. He shall return and gather you from amongst all the nations, asher efitzcha Hashem Elokecha Hashem, that God has scattered you there. If you are those out of you that have been cast away will be cast away to the ends of the heaven. From there Hashem shall gather you, and from there He shall take you. God shall bring you back to the land your forefathers inherited, the Rishta, and you will inherit it, and He shall be good to you and multiply you more than your fathers. Okay. So the parsha, the Torah is depicting here a situation where after the Jewish people have gone into exile, they repent, and after they repent, Hashem brings them back and gathers them together and brings them back to the land of Israel, to the land that their forefathers inherited. And Hashem will then benefit them. Hashem will be good to them, to the Jewish people who have returned. He shall be good to them. He shall multiply them more than their forefathers ever experienced. So the question is, what point of time are we referring to here? Referring to a point of time the Jewish people have repented. God gathers them together, brings them back to the land of Israel, and benefits them and does good with them even more than the good that their forefathers experienced. What point of history is this? Is this a point of history that will happen? Has it happened? What point are we talking about here? So according to many of the commentaries, according to Maimonides, and including Maimonides, as we shall see soon, this is talking about the future. This is talking about the times of Mashiach, the times of the Messiah. That's what it's referring to. A point of time where the Torah tells us that if the Jewish people repent, they can repent to a point that God takes them back, brings them all back from exile to the land of Israel. And as the Pasuk says, Hashem will, this is Pasuk, look at Pasuk Vav, verse 6, Umal Hashem Elokecha, Hashem your God shall circumcise, as Eslavavcha veslavav zarecha, your heart and the heart of your children, V'yahavos Hashem Elokecha, to love Hashem your God, V'cholavavcha with all your heart, V'cholnavshcha with all your soul, in order to give you life. And it talks about all the blessings that will come upon you at this point of time. So according to many of the commentaries, this is talking about when Mashiach comes. That's what it's referring to. So what I would like to now focus on tonight is a discussion that comes from the Sefer Matnas Chayim, comes from the collection of the talks of Rabbi Matisyahu Solomon of the Lakewood Yeshiva, where he goes through some very important concepts of what exactly the coming of Mashiach is about. What are the times of Mashiach about? And he begins with the following. If you look in the back of a siddur, we have what's called the 13 animamins, a whole list of animamin, a whole list of where we say, I believe. It's the 13, what we refer to as the 13 principles of faith, based on the writings of Maimonides of the Rambam in his commentary on Masechta Sanhedrin. And the Rambam goes through the 13 principles, and the animamins that we say at in the back of the siddur are based on the writings of the Rambam. And the one that deals with the 12th principle, which is the coming of Mashiach, is where we say, animamim emunah shalema, I believe with complete faith, b'viyas ha-Mashiach, in the coming of Mashiach. Va'af al-pisha yisvameya, and even though he may delay, im kol zeh achakalo, with all this I shall wait for him, b'chol yem sheyavai, every day that he will come. That's the 12th principle, famous principle. The question is that in the principle, when we say this principle, and when Rambam Maimonides writes about this principle, we include this seeming question, this question in the middle. The principle itself seems to be, I believe in the coming of Mashiach. Now, in the middle of that principle, we seem to insert a question, and even if he'll delay, which would seem like he's not coming, I will wait for him to come every day. So in the middle of this principle, we insert this question. I believe in Mashiach. If it comes out that it's taking a long time for him to come, I'm still waiting for him. Okay. The problem is that there are not, in all the other principles of faith, there's no questions that we insert in the middle of them. For instance, as Rabbi Solomon points out, one of the principles of faith is that God has no... there is that God has no physical body. So, if you want to ask a question on that principle, you could ask a very obvious question. If God has no physical body, why does it talk about the finger of God and the hand of God? It's a famous question that's asked. And Maimonides himself answers the question by saying, it's figurative. It doesn't mean that God has a physical body. It's just a way of describing God in a way that we can relate to. But we don't ask questions in the middle of that principle and say, I believe that God doesn't have a body. And even though the Torah says he does have a body, it means this and this. We don't say that. So why, by the 12th principle of Mashiach, do we insert the seeming question of, even though he may tarry, I still wait for him?
That's all it has to do with us.
Okay, but the point really is, if we're listing the principles of faith,
yes.
List the principles, and if you have questions, we'll discuss the questions. But if we're talking about listing the principles, you know, why do we need to go through, why just list them? That's the question. So, Rabbi Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik, the Chayel of Racha, known as the Brisk HaRav, Rabbi Soloveitchik's uncle, he explained it in the following way, and he answered it based on the writings of Rambam and Maimonides in Hilchos Melachim, the Laws of Kings, which is where the Rambam talks about Mashiach, and he writes like this, Haralach HaMashiach, the king, the Mashiach, who we know is a descendant, will be a descendant of David HaMelech from the Davidic dynasty. Asid Lamed Ulahachzer Malchus David LeYoshna Mashallah HaRishonah. He will bring back the Davidic monarchy as was before. Ubeine HaMikdash, he shall build the Beis HaMikdash, the temple. Umekabe Sitche Yisrael, he will gather together all the scattered Jews from around the world. And all the laws that originally were applicable during the times of the Beis HaMikdash shall return. Makriv and Karbonis, we shall go back to bringing sacrifices. And we shall keep the laws of Shemitah, of the land resting every 7 years, and the Jubilee every 50 years, as is described in the Torah. Now, here's the punchline. The Chomish Ein Amamin Bay, and whoever does not believe in him, he does not believe that there will be such a thing as Mashiach, Or someone who does not await his coming, not only is he denying what the prophets have written about, he is also in denial of what the Torah tells us. The Torah testified about him. Where? In this week's parsha. Shenema, as it says, God, Hashem your God, shall return, shall bring back your captives, he'll have mercy on you, and he will return and gather you in. If your lost ones will be at the ends of heaven, Hashem will bring you in. These words that are explicit in the Torah, they include all the words that the prophet said. So the Rambam says it's our parsha that talks about, we just read, talks about the coming of Mashiach. The Rambam says, so, and that's what the Torah says, and if you don't believe in that, if you deny this concept, you're denying that which the Torah says. The point, though, that the Brisker Rav brought out from the Rambam is that the Rambam didn't just say, he didn't just say, whoever doesn't believe in him. The Rambam also said, if you don't believe in the coming of Mashiach, or you don't await for his becoming, you are denying what the Torah wants from you. So Rambam is saying very clearly that when it comes to believing in Mashiach, the belief of Mashiach is not only the concept itself. Part of that belief is to await his coming. That's what the Rambam is saying. The Rambam is not just, you know, answering a question, if he's late, you know, we'll keep believing. That's not what he says. The Rambam is saying very clearly, you have to believe in Mashiach, and you have to await his coming. If you don't, you are not fulfilling this principle of faith. So therefore, now it comes clear why we inject this apapi, even though he tarries, I will wait. We inject that into the principle, because not a question. It's really bringing out this part, this detail of this principle of faith. This principle of faith does not just say, I believe in his coming, but it says that I believe in his coming in a way that it brings me to await his coming. It's part of that principle of faith. It's part of that faith. And therefore, we kind of stress that and bring that out in what we're saying by saying, even though he may be late, I await his coming. That's really trying to stress, it's just trying to bring out the idea of waiting his coming in a stronger way. Even if he's late, even if it's taking a long time for him to come, I continue to wait. But the point of mentioning it is because it is part of the principle itself. It's part of the faith of believing in Mashiach. The faith, the emuna that we have in Mashiach is not just that Mashiach will come, but that we believe he will come and we await his coming. It's part of that principle of our faith. That's why the Rambam mentioned it. That's why we include it. Now, the thing is, though, what we still really have to explain is, what we still have to understand is, basically, okay, how do we understand this new idea? How do we understand that besides believing in the coming of Mashiach, we also have to await his coming? How do we understand that? Why is that an integral part of the faith, of the belief itself? You know, it makes sense to say, to believe in this concept. Why does the concept also mandate that we have to await his coming? So Rabbi Solomon explains it with a very interesting parable. And he says, imagine the following. You've got this very poor man who's really down. He has no one to help him. He seemingly has no hope. He has a family and children. He has no means to support them. He is completely down in the dumps. He has no hope. And he meets this holy Jew, holy man, a man who has never said, never spoken an untruth from his mouth, a man who has never said anything that he never kept. And this man, this holy Jew, comes over to him and says, I had a dream last night. And in that dream I dreamt that they told me in the dream that one morning you're going to wake up and you are going to see on your kitchen table piles of money. Money by which you'll be able to support your family forever. I had that dream. I had a dream in heaven. The heavens let me know. They told me. They let me in on the fact that one morning you're going to wake up and you're going to find loads of money on your kitchen table and you'll be taken care of for life. That is what this holy man said to him. Okay. So the poor man says to himself, look, this is a holy person. He has never spoken anything that's not true. He has never promised anything, and he's never promised anything that he couldn't kept, that he couldn't keep. You know, this must be true. It must be true. One morning I'm going to wake up and there's going to be loads of money on my kitchen table. Do I know which morning it's going to happen? That he didn't tell me. I don't know which morning it's going to happen. Now, that poor man, right? Every night he goes to sleep, what will he be awaiting? What will he be hoping for? That when he wakes up next morning, all that money will be on his kitchen table. Because he believes so strongly in what this person has told him, he believes in it so strongly that he awaits it. He awaits it. He believes so strongly and he awaits it. Now, the reason why he awaits it is because he understands the benefit of it. You know, if he wouldn't understand the benefit of what was being told he's going to get, right, he wouldn't wait for it. He wouldn't anticipate it. He wouldn't hope every morning he's going to wake up and find it there. Because he understands, because he understands the value of what he's being told and how important and the value of what he's being told, so therefore, okay, he doesn't know when it's going to come, but every night, he's going to go to sleep and he's going to long for the fact that when he wakes up the next morning, that money's going to be there. So if Solomon explained, this is how we have to understand the concept of awaiting Mashiach. A person could only wait and long for Mashiach if he understands and appreciates what the days of Mashiach are about. You have to appreciate what it is. You have to value what it is. If you value it and you understand that the days of Mashiach will be the great, the most prosperous and best time of history for the Jewish people or for the world as a whole, if you understand that and you believe that, then it comes out that, and you know that every day, right, part of your belief is that every day Hashem can decide to bring him, then you will every day await the coming of Mashiach. Because if you know there is that possibility that every day he can come, and every day it could happen that the world will now turn around to come to a state of quality and goodness that has never been experienced before, then you're going to await that. So the point of awaiting the coming of Mashiach is really the expression of believing in the quality of what the times of Mashiach will be about. The belief in Mashiach breaks down into, number one, the concept of Mashiach, and number two, the fact that Mashiach comes, we will experience a time in the history of the world that has never been experienced until then. And if you believe in that quality of the time of the days of Mashiach, and you also believe in the fact that Hashem could bring him any single day, when Hashem decides, it could happen that one morning or one day you're going to turn on the radio and find out Mashiach came. Because if you believe in that, and you believe in the quality of those days, and how good those days will be, so then you'll await it. So awaiting Mashiach, which the Rambam says is an integral part of our faith, is again, it's not a detail. It's not a separate detail. Rather, it's the way that we express our belief of what the days of Mashiach are about. There's awaiting the coming of Mashiach, and there's awaiting of what the days of Mashiach are about. It's about believing in the quality, in the value, and how great those days will be. So your awaiting Mashiach is part of emunah, part of the belief in the coming of Mashiach, because that's how you express your belief that the times of Mashiach will be the greatest times that the world has ever experienced. So that's how he puts the whole concept together. Part of the belief in Mashiach is to await. Why is awaiting part, an integral part of the belief? Because this is how we express our belief that the times of Mashiach are the greatest times that ever will be, and that they can happen any single day.
It still feels that something more is going on, because if I were reminded it, I would say I believe in the Mashiach and I will await for him every day of my life. That covers everything itself.
That's what he says.
Well, but he inserted this if question.
Yeah, so you say, what do you want to say?
It looks like it's to address some non-believers or somebody who had it, sure that...
That may be true, that the point, meaning I'll agree with you that the APAP, right, may be trying to address something else,
right.
But the fact that he brought it in, right, and it's not just that, you know, you can read his commentary, right, and his commentary, he can answer that question, right?
Yeah.
You know, the fact that, and the way the Rambam himself expresses it, in the laws of kings, right? It's part of the belief. It's part of that principle of belief. The fact that he decided to turn into an afal pi, yeah, he maybe was trying to address, you know, the idea is I have part of my belief is waiting, and that waiting will be a waiting no matter how long it takes. But again, it's mentioned because it's an integral part of the faith itself.
Maybe the only one of the 13 principles that doesn't currently exist. It currently exists that Hashem has no form.
What do you mean it
form.
Doesn't exist?
Well, everything, all the others, you say they are now. Hashem
right.
has no form.
Right.
Moshe Rabbeinu is, you know, is to believe in everything. But everything we
right.
have, the Torah we have,
actually,
we
the
don't have Mashiach.
You also don't have the resurrection of the dead yet. That's the 13th.
That's true. Okay,
so going down in line.
Okay, but it means you have to believe.
Yeah.
Because it's not here, it's something
yeah.
you, even though it seems to go on and on and on forever, and it's not, he hasn't come, or
right.
she hasn't come, we
right.
still have to have faith that
right.
he's coming.
And await it.
And await it
right.
with enthusiasm.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Now, to bring out this point, Rabbi Solomon actually cites Rambam's commentary in Tractate Sanhedrin, where he's going through where he goes through these principles of faith, and when he talks about, you know, that if you don't believe, right, that you're denying what the Torah itself tells us, so he says it a little bit differently. He says, "Umishim estapik boy," and anyone who doubts this, "Oynismayit elav ma'alosai," or he diminishes its greatness. He doesn't say, or he doesn't wait. In the Yad HaChazaka, where the Rambam is talking about the laws, the Rambam says, if you deny, if you don't believe in him, or you don't await. And here, in the commentary on the Mishnah, he says, he who doubts, which is the same thing as not believing, or nismayit alav malasay, or his maila, or his greatness is diminished. Meaning the greatness of what Mashiach is about is diminished. Doesn't say you don't wait for it. So therefore, but we're not going to say we're not trying to make a contradiction here. We're trying to say that they work together. When the Rambam in the laws says someone who doesn't believe or doesn't await, and then in the commentary to the Mishnah, he says someone who doubts or nismayet elav malasai. Or that the maila, meaning the advantage, the benefit, the greatness has diminished. Doesn't say it doesn't away. He says the greatness is diminished. You diminish the greatness. That is Rabbi Solomon's point, that they go together. The idea of awaiting and the idea of believing in the greatness of what Mashiach is about goes together. Because that's how you wait. That's the basis of waiting. That's the point of waiting. The point of waiting is the fact that because I understand the greatness of that times, I understand the benefit of that times, that is why I await.
But another interesting point in this text is that what I expected it to say is you will not get a seat in the world to come. And instead it says you mess up everybody else pretty much.
Well,
if you diminish the greatness of
Mashiach,
yeah, well, then we're all suffering.
We're all suffering.
Well, the greatness.
You don't believe in it, but I do believe in it. So how are you hurting
but
me?
What does it mean then to diminish him?
That means you personally diminish the greatness of Mashiach.
In your mind.
In your mind.
In your own mind. Not
for everyone else.
No, it doesn't mean that. It means that he's talking about the person who's in the stopic, who's in doubt,
yes.
Or this same person who's not in doubt of Mashiach itself, but he doesn't accept it as anything
okay.
special, so to speak. Okay. All right. Now, so now we've established, you know, to understand when it comes to the principle of faith of believing in Mashiach, we see from the Rambam that we believe that the principle of faith is to believe in Mashiach and to await Mashiach, because awaiting Mashiach means that we believe in the unique greatness of the times of Mashiach. Okay. Now, Rav Salman continues with the way the Rambam explains what are the days of Mashiach about. What's going to go on then? What's happening then? What is the essence of this period of time? So here, the Rambam, cites the Rambam in the Hilchos Malachim, the Laws of Kings, and he writes like this. Lo'inis'avu ha'chachamim v'anavim yemais ha'mashiach. The sages and the prophets, their desire, their longing for the days of Mashiach, lo'i k'dei yishushetu al kol ha'olam. It's not that the Jewish people should rule over the world. V'lo'i k'dei sheyeredu ba'akum. Not that they should control the Gentiles. V'lo'i k'dei sheyenasu oisa ma'amim. And not that other nations should raise them up and give them importance. And it's not a period of time to eat, to drink, to rejoice. That's not what the days of Mashiach are about. We're not longing for the most pleasurable state of the world, or a state of the world where we are on the highest at the highest point of greatness and control. That's not what they were looking for. The point is, during the times of Mashiach, there will be no disturbance. People will be free and be able, without any disturbance, to be involved in Torah and its wisdom. And there will be no kind of ruler or disturbance. You know, bottom line is, when you're in Gullus, when you're in exile, when you're not in control of your situation the way you should be, there are things that take you away. You know, you can't live the kind of life that you want to. You cannot live that life of the prophets of the wise men, which is to be able to study Torah undisturbed, to study the Word of God undisturbed. That doesn't happen when you're in exile. That doesn't happen when other nations of the world have some kind of influence or control or a way of disturbing. The point of Mashiach is that there will be nothing to disturb the Jewish people, there will be nothing to disturb the wise men of the prophets for being able to study Torah undisturbed. For what purpose? So that they should be able to merit life in the world to come, as we have explained in the Laws of Repentance. And during that period, there will be no famine, no war, like kin of a sachris, no jealousy, no competition. There'll be plenty. There'll be an overflowing of goodness. And all pleasures and all things of I don't know exactly how to translate that word madanim, but all let's
earthy.
Just use the word. Excuse me.
Earthy.
What?
Earth-related.
No. Well, yes, but I don't want to make it sound too. The chomah that it means that all pleasurable things, matzin kafar, that'll be available like dirt. Lo yeisek kol la'olam el ladas Hashem bilvad. What will be the world busy with? Knowing God. Ulefikach yu Yisrael chachamim gedolim v'yedim dvarim hastumim. And because of this, the Jewish people will become very great and wise, being able to become aware and understanding the hidden parts of Torah that they couldn't understand until now, the full depths of Torah that couldn't be understood, the Yasigu Das Beirim, and they'll come to comprehend the will of God, Kifikayach Adam, according to how a human being, to the highest point that a human being possibly can. Shenemar Kimala Aretz Deyas Hashem Kamayim Liyam Echasim. The land shall be full with knowledge of God, like the ocean is filled with water. That's how the Rambam describes. It's not party time. Mashiach is not that, okay, now the world is going to turn into a big party, and we're going to be on top, we're going to be at the head of the party. That's not what it's about. It's about a point of time that, yes, from the point of the physical state of the world and our physical state, everything's going to be just fine. There'll be, everything will be available for us to be tranquil and peace and peaceful and undisturbed. For what purpose? To gain greater knowledge of God and Torah. That's what it's about. And when we talk about the times of Mashiach being trouble-free, there'll be no more tsaris, there'll be no more suffering, we'll be able to have all our questions answered. It's all not just about life being great. It's not about utopia. It's about a utopian state so that we will be able to be completely focused on studying Torah, knowing God, gaining greater knowledge of God. For what purpose? As the Rambam says, so that we should be able to merit life in the world to come. So now we have this is the Rambam's description. The Rambam's description of Mashiach's times is a time where, as it's not mentioned here, but I think he mentions it in a different place, the world doesn't, according to the Rambam's understanding, the world doesn't change much. The physical world doesn't change. The physical world runs as it should in a physical state, but again, in a state of complete peace and a complete tranquility, no problems, nothing going wrong. Which is not the normal way the world goes. But the point is, that without any of the, so to speak, problems that mankind makes, or maybe many of the other, even the physical issues of the world, like earthquakes and tornadoes and stuff like that, that kind of stuff is going to stop. But again, we'll be living in a world, in a regular natural world, but a natural world that is in complete sync with what we need so that we should be able to be focused on Torah and knowledge of God.
Is it going to be Mashiach himself that unlocks these hidden secrets of Torah, or is it the fact that we have now this time that our rabbis can then unlock it?
That's a good question. I think the answer may be both. It's going to be a time where the rabbis can delve into it, and probably the one that's going to be teaching us will be Mashiach, but can't answer that exactly, but it could be both. Okay, now, if, as the Rambam depicts, the point of the time of Mashiach is so that we will have a state of no disturbance to studying Torah and gaining more knowledge of God, it would therefore come out, it should come out, that the more a person has a recognition and appreciation for Torah, right, according to that, that's how more he will experience the greatness of that time. If a person has the more appreciation and understanding of what Torah is, right, the more you have that appreciation and understanding, the more the opportunity that the times of Mashiach brings you, the greater it is for you. The greater the opportunity it is. The more that you have to experience and gain from that period of time. I mean, it's just a logical thing. If you have the greater appreciation for Torah, the greater appreciation of what that time does, of what that time affords you. But as he says, as the Rambam points out, that again, the idea of being able to have this tranquil time, this time of undisturbed Torah study, is for what purpose? Is for the purpose to be able to gain life in the world to come. Now, we believe in different periods of time. We've got the world as it is now, we have the coming of Mashiach, and then we have Olam Haba, the world to come. There's also a period of time when people pass on from this world that their neshamas also go to a afterlife. But when we talk about Olam Haba in its complete form, that's the eventual point of time with the resurrection of the dead, in which we come to a state of being of where we are the closest and connected as possibly as we can to God. And as it's depicted, it's a time of the greatest pleasure, experience of pleasure that we can have, that our neshamas can have. But it's a period that we eventually believe in that we'll get to. Now, when we typically think about the time of Mashiach, so we would seemingly look at Mashiach as a time of reward. You know, we've gone through the regular period of history, then we have Mashiach, and, you know, if you merit to live in the time of Mashiach, you've experienced that reward of that period of time. That's how you would seemingly look at it. But the Rambam tells us, the time of Mashiach is actually a time, a period, of where we can gain life in the world to come to a level, to the highest level. We believe that every mitzvah, everything that we do makes a difference for what Olam Haba will have in store for us. But what the Rambam is telling us is that the period of Mashiach is actually the period of time where we will really have the ability to grow in a way that we can gain even more reward in the world to come. That's the period of time in which we will really have the chance to perfect ourselves through the study of Torah, through gaining more knowledge of God, that we will then be able to really gain even more reward, even more reward in the ultimate state of Olam Haba. That's the Rambam telling us. That's what times of Mashiach are about. It's not just a time where life will be great. It's a time where, because life will be great, we will be able to study Torah in a way that we can then merit life in the world to come at an even higher level. Now, the problem of Solomon Broadside is a Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos quotes a pasuk in Kehelas where it says, "Uzachar es baracha b'mei b'chureisecha, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, ara shelo yavoy yumei hara, before the days of evil come. Eilu yumei hazikna, this means older age, v'igiyu shanim asher tomer ein li behem chefetz." The pasuk says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the years come in which you will say about them, I have no desire. Remember your Creator in your youth, before you reach a point of time, a point of years that you say, I have no desire for them. What point of time is that? Eilu yimei HaMashiach. These are the days of Mashiach. The days of Mashiach refer to days that you don't want. Why? Shein behem leisus v'leichayva. In the days of Mashiach, there's no merit and there's no demerit. That means, in the days of Mashiach, is there going to be what we call bechira? We have free will, right? In the days of Mashiach, is there going to really be free will anymore? When everything is hunky-dory, right? When there's no problems and there's no disturbances and there's no challenges. There are no spiritual challenges. This is what we, and he brings down the Gemara at, right. Just one second. Right. Okay, the point of when the Gemara says the days of Mashiach have no merit, have no demerit. Why? There's no challenge. Right? We believe that when Mashiach comes, there won't be a Yetzirah, there won't be an evil inclination anymore. So without an evil inclination, without a challenge, without free will, without some kind of possibility or desire to sin, there's no merit. So what the Gemara seems to be saying, remember your Creator before Mashiach comes. Because once Mashiach comes, there's no merit, there's no demerit, which means there's no chance of gaining more. It's in this world that you gain what you need to gain. So do tshuva, repent then, in your youth, meaning before you reach that time, that's the time that you have to, as we say in Yiddish, you got to hop around, you got to get it in that point, because Mashiach comes, you're going to be what you're going to be, that's it, there's no merit, there's no demerit. That seems to contradict the Rambam. Because the Rambam says that the point of the days of Mashiach are to have undisturbed Torah study, that you should merit the world to come. The Gemara seems to say that's not going to happen. So if Solomon points out that there is a way of, that the Gemara actually brings an opinion, a dissenting opinion, that does not interpret this verse in Kehelas like that. So this idea that the Gemara brings down is an idea that there seems to be other opinions who disagree with it, and perhaps the Rambam was following that opinion. But, he says, the Maharal, in his Sefer Netzach Yisrael, has the answer to this question. It all works together. And the Maharal explains it in the following way. The Maharal says, yes, based when the Gemara says that when the Mashiach comes, there's no merit, there's no demerit, it means that you can't do tshuva after Mashiach comes. Imagine you have a person who during his lifetime didn't do right. Okay? Mashiach comes, right? And he sees the world out, you know, Mashiach has come, everything is great, you know, there's no more Yetzirah, serving God is the greatest thing you possibly can do, and he says, okay, now I'm going to serve God. Is that tshuva? Is that repentance? That's not repentance. If you decide to serve God because there's no more challenge anymore, it's very clear that the greatest thing you could do is serve God. That's not tshuva. That's not repentance. You can't change your state of being non-righteous to righteous during the times of Mashiach, because when you repent, when you change your ways in times of Mashiach, it doesn't count. There's no challenge. It's obvious that this is the way to go. There's no desire to go any other way. That's not tshuva. And the truth is the other way around also. A person was a tzaddik, was a righteous person during the Olam Hazeh, the period of this world, right? During Mashiach times, he's not going to turn around. He's not going to change his ways. In this world, you know, it's always possible to turn things around. You can be a tzaddik your whole life, and at the end you can drop it all. When Mashiach comes, that can't happen.
You can do the same.
One second. It's not going to happen. Because it's not going to happen. There's no way it's going to happen. But, says the Maharal, if you were righteous before Mashiach came, okay, so when there was a challenge, okay, you were doing the right thing, even when it wasn't so clear, even when you were challenged, you did the right thing. So when Mashiach comes, what are you doing? You're continuing what you started before. You're continuing from what you started before. It's a continuation. If you were righteous in this world, so then when Mashiach comes, even though there's no challenge anymore to what you're doing, but you are now continuing from what you started. You started from a point of time when you were righteous, when there was a challenge to be righteous. When there was a Yetzirah, you were being righteous. If you were righteous before Mashiach comes, when Mashiach does come, you can now benefit from your continued righteousness. You can continue from there because you are continuing. You're not just starting anew. You're continuing from where you left off. And because you continue from where you left off, so now you can actually gain more. You can grow more. Now, if you think about it, okay, it sounds interesting. It sounds like a good idea. But at the same time, if you think about it, it's like, but still, we know that reward for mitzvahs, we have a concept, l'fum tzara agra. That means the harder it is, the more effort, the greater your reward. You can't be rewarded seemingly without effort. You can't be rewarded without effort. That seems to be the general rule. So again, so good, the morale says, you're continuing from what you did. But again, there's no challenge what you're doing now. If there's no challenge what you're doing now, how can you be rewarded? So Rav Solomon explains in the following way. There is, if we go back to Bereishis, where before Avraham Avinu has any children, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Hashem says to Avraham, Habetna Hashemayma, look to the heaven, Usafah HaKeichavim, count the stars, Emtucha Lispar Oysam, can you count them? Vayomer Elokeya Zaracha, this is what your children will be like. Avraham says, I have no children, I have no heir. Only Eliezer is my heir. Hashem takes him out. Can you count the stars? This is what your descendants will be. Then the Pasuk says, Vehemen b'Hashem, and Abraham believed in Hashem, believed what Hashem said. He had full faith in what Hashem said. Vayachshevel lo tzedakah, and God considered it a tzedakah, an act of righteousness on his part. And Rashi in his commentary says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chishma la'Avram l'schus v'tzedakah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu considered what Abraham did to believe in what he said as a merit, for the faith that he had. For the faith that he had, Hashem said, you don't have children now, but you will have descendants as much as the stars of the heaven. And Abraham accepted that, he believed that, Hashem considered that a merit for him. So Ramban Achmanides asks, big deal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you, God tells you that you're going to have all your children are going to be as great as the stars, right? You're not going to believe it as a prophet. God told him this. Does it really take such a big challenge? Now, you know, there's, you know, even a prophet can be challenged, but I'm saying, you know, you get such a big thing. Abraham believed in what Hashem said. Hashem told him. Abraham displayed plenty of faith until now. He jumped, he put himself in a fire. He jumped into a burning furnace. Right? So there's a big merit that he believed what he heard in prophecy. What does it mean? So Leo Lapian explained it in the following way. And it's a very important concept. Okay? It's a very important concept. And the concept is, what Rashi was trying to say is that if you start up struggling, and you struggle and you work and you reach a certain level. Now, there's no guarantee that you will ever stay at a level. Okay? No guarantees. But there is a point where you reach a certain level where something that used to be a challenge isn't as much as a challenge. Maybe it's not a challenge at all. Okay? It's not a challenge anymore. Okay, so at that point, when I hit that high point, so I lose out, seemingly, right? I mean, I was challenged before, whenever the greater the challenge, the greater the reward. So I was getting more reward before, but now that it's easy, no big deal, just make sure you don't mess up. Is that how it works? Rashi says no, that's not how it works. Anything that's a result from what you worked for what you worked for, you worked on growing, you worked on attaining a level. And now because of that work, you now reach a point where it's still more of a challenge. That's how far you've come. So we don't say to you, okay, at this point, no big challenge, your reward is diminished. Uh-uh. You get full credit. You get full credit because it came as a result of your hard work. And if it came as a result of your effort and your hard work, whatever is the result from that gets paid the same dividend as your original hard work. You don't lose out from growing. Therefore, Rashi says, the Torah was trying to tell us, when Abraham showed his faith in what Hashem said, and Hashem considered it a merit, Rashi's trying to say, the Torah is teaching us this principle. Abraham Avinu, when he came to this point that Hashem told him in prophecy that your children will be like the stars of the sky, and Abraham believes, and the Torah says, Hashem considers that a merit, the Torah is teaching us, because Abraham struggled on his own, he came to belief in Hashem, and he was ready to give up his life for it, and he fought for it. And because of that, he reached this level of being able to be a prophet, where Hashem tells him these things, and he can believe it because he's a prophet. It all goes back. It all goes back to the starting point of where he struggled to come to belief in Hashem. And because of where he's at as a result of that, full credit. Full credit, just like the first time you struggled. So therefore, we could say in the Rambam like this. When we talk about the person who now, during his lifetime, before Mashiach came, this person was a righteous person. He struggled. He fought with his evil inclination. And he was a righteous person, or whatever level it may be, whatever point that you may be. Before Mashiach comes, you struggle, you work to be able to remain righteous as you can be. And now Mashiach comes. And you're going to continue on that path. Okay? The path that you continue on in the times of Mashiach, right, it may be that there's no more challenge to it, right? There's no more Yetzirah to it. But at the same time, the level, or let's call it the quality, of the way you're serving Hashem now when Mashiach comes without challenge, the quality of that is based on what you struggled with before. Yeah, the evil person decides when Mashiach comes, oh, there's nothing else to do but to study Torah. There's nothing else to do but to follow Hashem. But is his level going to be the same as yours? It's not the same thing. It's completely different. He had no appreciation before. He's starting anew. He may appreciate something now. But you who worked before, who struggled, who gained appreciation, who worked hard, your continuation of Mashiach comes, it is a continuation of what you started. It is a result of what you started. Yeah, you may be continuing on that path because there's no more challenge. But the path that you continue on qualitatively is different because of the struggles and appreciation you gained beforehand. So therefore, we apply the same idea. Yeah, you can continue to grow. You can continue to get reward because what you're doing now is a result of the struggles that you put into before Mashiach came. It's the same idea. your quality, your level of Torah study, of knowing Hashem, of seeking Hashem, is going to be qualitatively different than the person who's just starting anew because of the fact of all the work you put in beforehand. And therefore, that which you will continue doing is a result of your original struggles, and therefore, you can gain reward for it. So it's a little bit different than the case of Avraham Avinu, where Avraham's level that he's at when Hashem promises him is a direct result of the struggles to believe in Hashem that he started off with. You know, in this case, it's a little bit different because of the fact that, you know, at this point of time when I'm serving God, the evil person would serve God also. So my service of God that I continue doing is without challenge. But the point is, though, we're not just talking about serving God just for the sake of serving God. We're talking about your service of God now when Mashiach comes, which is a result of the struggles that you had, the quality, the level that you have now when Mashiach comes, which is a result of the struggles you had beforehand. That can give you more rewards. That can all count because it's all a result of the struggles that you had beforehand.
That also means that the order of levels will not change.
Excuse me?
That the ratings of levels will not change after the Mashiach comes.
Yeah.
Right. So if you imagine,
but when you say the ratings of levels, it's like it's let's put it out. Yeah. What? How do you want to say it?
Well, consider 100 runners, and they run in this order from 1 to 100. When the Mashiach comes, there will be no. So this is the order of levels. Now they continue to study, but they will never change places.
Number one will always be number one. So they will continue moving forward, and moving forward means they gain more, but yes, every person will be gaining according to the level he established beforehand. Yes, that would be true.
Remains a Rasha?
No. Does it remain a Rasha? Well, let's put it this way. He's not acting like a Rasha, but he's certainly not going to be considered a tzaddik.
Well, because he will not overcome.
He will not be considered a tzaddik.
But he doesn't need to steal anymore. He doesn't need to.
No, he will not steal anymore. No, he won't get any worse.
He won't get any worse, but
he will not be able to be considered, to be now that he's behaving, he's a tzaddik. No.
He'll be in the second.
Not so simple.
In the second.
It's interesting to try to figure out, according to this, what will be with him. Is there something?
Mm-hmm.
Is there something? But it's clearly not what the righteous person, and I would add, or the righteousness of each person. I'd be ready to say that the Rambam is not just talking about tzaddikim. We're talking about each person according to whatever level of righteousness he has strived for, and he builds on that.
Thank you.
Thank you.